We're going to do our best today, ladies and gentlemen, on this Monday to explain what's going on with the Saskatchewan Roughriders. Can you explain it, Locker? Can you explain what's going on with the Saskatchewan Roughriders? Two-game losing streak, lose to the worst team in the West Division. Bad starts. That's it.
I'm sure there's more to it, but we'll start there.
Do you have any other nominations for what's wrong with the Saskatchewan Roughriders? 1-877-332-8255. As it was a busy, busy weekend in sports. We begin the Green Zone with the starting lineup, the top sports headlines, and yes, let's go back to Saturday. The Rough Riders attempt a miracle comeback against the Elks, but fall short.
Here we go. Two-pointer to tie the score and force overtime. Harris, end zone. No! Edmonton wins!
Who is he throwing to?
I think it was a Joe and Joe, but on that play, Joe and Emelis kind of bump into each other. So there is a malfunction at the junction on that route running combination. They were trying to throw like a jump ball to a Joe. A Joe has tremendous vertical. Like, he can get up. So I think was the play. They're just trying to throw that jump ball to a Joe, and then he bumped into Emelis and
yeah. Brutal.
That was ugly. But meanwhile, the Riders did lose 27-25. First time this season they've suffered two straight losses. They didn't score until the final play of the second quarter, right before halftime. Brett Lawther made a field goal. He did miss two others from 50 and 55 yards.
So you're not angry at the kicking game?
Two missed kicks from 50 beyond.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, you want him to make one of those. Should he make both?
I thought sure. There was going to be more anger for the kicking game.
But the further out you are, the less likely it is to make a field goal. It's annoying that the kicker, who's got the leg, Brett Lawther has the leg to make those kicks,
yeah,
isn't making those kicks. But the West Division standings starting to get real tight. The Rough Riders still have a two-game lead on Calgary, Winnipeg, and BC. But that's right, Winnipeg and BC now tied with 8 wins with the Calgary Stampeders. The Stampeders, however, are slightly ahead of them because they played fewer games. Then Winnipeg and BC, Edmonton is at 6-9, still in the race for a playoff spot. But things are real tight right
now. And this has got to revitalize the Elks. Like, they are riding high after beating the Rough Riders.
They should be, but at 6-9 with only 3 games left, they're going to have to win out and get some help to make the playoffs. But the Rough Riders dropped their second straight for the first time this season.
We'll move on to better news. The Blue Jays finishing the season hot and clinching first place in the American League East.
He's hit it well. It's gone! Alejandro Kirk is back. And a ground ball fair. Guerrero to Lauer, and they've done it. Champions for the first time in 10 years.
That game was my boy Kirk's game. So 2 home runs, 6 RBIs. They sweep the Rays. The Jays finished the season with 11 series sweeps. The Rays sweep was huge, obviously, because it ends up in a tie with the Yankees at the end of the weekend. They secure a bye in the first round of the playoffs by winning the AL East. Like we just heard, for the first time in 10 years. But the 4-game sweep of the Yankees back in the end of June is probably the bigger sweep of the season, because it gives them that that advantage there and the tiebreaker that ends up with the bye. This is not a good wild card team, so I'm glad they have a rest until Saturday when they'll be taking on.
Why do you
on,
say that?
When they'll be taking on the winner of the Yankees and the Red Sox wild card. The Jays thumping Tampa 13-4. So that was the final there. Gosman got the win in that one as well. So
Well, he started. Now he can rest. Now he can rest.
But they take a chance in putting him out there, right? Which would have messed up. They would have had to play the wild card. Would have messed up the rotation for the starters. So it was a good gamble on Sunday. Good news for the. Did anybody think that? I thought for sure they were going to mess it up this weekend.
I was kind of going there. Yeah. When the Yankees swept, I was thinking. And then Gosman didn't start well. I was like, oh, this is going to.
Yeah,
this isn't ending well.
That's
but then the offense stormed out of the gate.
Huge win for the Jays.
Yes, it is. Massive. We go to the National Football League, and Locker's Chiefs prediction of them missing the playoffs may not end well.
Looking the strike. Pass caught. And a Kansas City touchdown. Rolling out, flinging it. Pacheco finds his way to the end zone, and a Kansas City touchdown. End zone bound. Caught. Touchdown, Kansas City. Pass end zone. Caught. Touchdown, Hollywood Brown, number 4 for Mahomes.
Yes, the Chiefs beat the Ravens 37-20. The Chiefs have won 2 straight. The Ravens are now 1-3 to start the season.
What's wrong with the Ravens?
Yeah, that's a good question. That defense, not great for Baltimore. There was also a tie on Sunday Night Football. The Green Bay Packers kicked a field goal in the last play of overtime. With a 40-40 tie with the Dallas Cowboys, that end of that game was crazy back and forth with the Cowboys and the Packers. Micah Parsons might have saved that game in overtime, tackling Prescott for his only sack on the night. But we'll get to our NFL grades coming up a little bit later on when we take you to Sunday school.
Yeah, more on that. Golf, the Ryder Cup got a little too close for comfort. Europe nearly blowing it on Sunday. That's one of the better Ryder Cups I've ever watched. And I'm so glad it was Shane that actually sort of put the nail in the coffin for the Americans. But my goodness, did they come storming back on Sunday. Europe had a 12-5 lead going into Sunday before the singles matches. And they only needed 3 of a possible 11 points. They finish 15-13 and win it. So they'll go back to Ireland for the next one, 2027. So the big question out of this, though, is just about golf etiquette, because the fans apparently were a little bit crazy. And if you have any thoughts on that, we'll be talking about that a little bit later on the Green Zone as well.
It was didn't sound very friendly. Not the players all said, heckle us, whatever. But there, I guess there was a lot of heat on the spouses and girlfriends. That was going on. Shane Lowry talked about it, too, after the matches. Going, he spent one of the days with Rory's wife and was saying she was just getting, like, it was awful on the stuff that was being shouted at her and down to her while she was watching her husband play and usually winning on Friday and Saturday against Europe. Meanwhile, we now know who will play the Super Bowl halftime show. We thought it was going to be Taylor Swift. Nope. Adele?
Nope.
Will they get Metallica to play on the Bay Area at home? Nope.
Trooper?
He is one of the most biggest global music superstars. Bad Bunny, a.k.a. Happy Gilmore's caddy, and Happy Gilmore 2 will be the Super Bowl halftime show later on this year. So that was announced during halftime of the Sunday night game. It is Bad Bunny who is the Super Bowl halftime show. And if you don't know who he is, as I mentioned, Happy Gilmore too. He was the waiter that Travis Kelce kind of yelled at, and then Happy Gilmore made him his caddy. That's Bad Bunny, one of the many cameos in Happy Gilmore too. So that is the Super Bowl halftime show. For
brutal. I don't get it.
I understand it completely. This is, again, the National Football League. Spread their wings. How can we bring in a bigger audience? You got North America. We're all watching the Super Bowl. Latin America, are they watching the Super Bowl? Yeah. I can guarantee now they are with Bad Bunny as the Super Bowl halftime show. That's the strategy. And they probably screwed it up when it came to booking Taylor Swift, from all reports. Because if you know anything about Taylor, she kind of wants to own her stuff, and she wanted to own the halftime show, and they said no. we own the halftime show. And she went, okay, bye. Book Bad Bunny. Coming up next here on the Green Zone.
Is that the rumor?
Yeah. She wanted to own it. Like, she wants to own everything. She wants to, her stuff, she wants to own it. So that was the negotiation. Apparently are the rumblings that if they would have said, yep, you can own the Super Bowl halftime show this year, she would have been the Super Bowl halftime show.
That's very interesting.
I'm glad it's not Adele, though.
Adele wouldn't have worked.
A bunch of ballads at the Super Bowl halftime show?
Yeah.
I don't want to get in my feelings.
I'd rather have Adele than Bad Bunny. I'll say that out loud.
We'll see how the show goes. Maybe it'll surprise. Coming up next, the Jays finally, in my opinion, had something to celebrate.
Oh, you're okay with the celebration?
Well, yeah, they got a week off to recover.
Okay.
They didn't have to play 24 hours later.
All right, just making sure. I mean,
that's what I said last week. It's not like they clinched and have like a, no, I said if they would have clinched the AL East and would have had like 2 weeks to, you know, get over their hangovers until, I would have been fine with it. But they damn near blew it after popping the champagne. But they were in their clubhouse getting after it last night. But we'll ask you, is this a World Series team? Do you look at the Jays this year, this roster, this bullpen, this starting rotation and say, oh, yes, the Canadian team is going to win the World Series for the first time since 93? 1-877-332-8255. Let us know on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Yeah, it was a party last night in the clubhouse for the Toronto Blue Jays as they clinch the American League East and are the best team in the American League, tied with the Yankees, but with a tiebreaker. They are the number one seed in the American League. We're asking you, are the Blue Jays going deep in the playoffs? So they will wait until Saturday to play Game 1 of the American League Divisional Series against either the Red Sox and the Yankees. Trent came in hot. Jamie, I thought you said the Jays were done. Well, they were making the playoffs. We knew they were making the playoffs. They already had that clinched.
I thought, and listen,
I'm convinced they're losing the American League Divisional Series to the Red Sox or Yankees.
We had 50 texts on Friday when we were talking about this, and there was maybe three that thought that they had a chance of making it out of the weekend without having to play a wild card. And I was part of that group.
So now are you back on the bandwagon? They're going to the World Series. Let's go.
I'm impressed with because they had to win each game because the Yankees were rolling. The Yankees had an easier opponent. And the fact that they were able to step up and actually produce this weekend, I think says a lot about the resilience of this team this year compared to past Jays squads. So I like that. I still think that, you know,
I don't think this bullpen or the starting rotation is strong enough to win in the playoffs.
No, I think you're right. I think you put these pennant races in front of the Yankees, in front of the Red Sox, and they switch it on. They can be bad teams. They can be disjointed teams, and they just go, we're winning? Okay. That's what we're doing.
Especially when the starting rotation has Shane Bieber coming off Tommy John surgery, having, what, 8 or 9 starts. We're going with
I'm more concerned with Scherzer.
If he even pitches.
Yeah.
Gosman struggled a little bit yesterday. And you're like, then you're throwing Hoffman. Throwing Hoffman out there in a crucial situation. If you're going up against Aaron Judge and Stan, like those guys, an end of a game with Hoffman on the mound. Yes, Trent, I still think they're done. I do not see the Toronto Blue Jays going to the World Series this year.
They've been outscoring their problems in the bullpen all season long. So if they can continue to do that and they got a good rest, they don't play again until Saturday. I don't know, Jamie.
Sometimes it can hurt a team. They just...
Yeah.
They're out of their rhythm all of a sudden. They've been playing every other day or every day, and then all of a sudden it's like 6 days off. What do they look like against the teams that might have to play 2 or 3 to get them? Game 1 Saturday at the Rogers Center. Time now for the Green Zone 1 minute drill, the latest in sports. The Rough Riders have a day off. They're back at it tomorrow. 2 days of practice. Then they head off to the nation's capital against the Ottawa Red Blacks on Friday night. Doubleheader on Monday Night Football tonight. Oh, baby, can't wait for this one. It's a humdinger of a matchup. The New York Jets against the Miami Dolphins. You can sleep through that one. And then it's the Bengals and the Broncos on the second Monday night game for the National Football League. As for the wild card series, of course, in Major League Baseball, they all start tomorrow. Coming up next here on the Green Zone, the Ryder Cup got a little testy between the fans and the Europe team. Do they have much to complain about in a team event? Should the Americans be able, should their fans be able to throw away golf etiquette and try to rally the American side by talking smack to Rory and Shane?
I have some thoughts.
Or have fans gone too far when it comes to the Ryder Cup this weekend? This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. So I kind of like Team Europe's spin.
In your head, glory, 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 hey,
in your head. Ah, yeah, they were having a party on the bus.
Dolores would be proud.
Oh, my goodness, as the Team Europe celebrates winning the Ryder Cup, although on Sunday, it got a little tight for Team Europe as match one came right down to the final hole.
And Cameron Young has come full circle.
Then Justin Thomas, the next match on 18, a putt to win the match. Whoa. Bryson DeChambeau was down five after seven holes. No way he's coming back to get even.
Can DeChambeau turn this around late? And just makes it one. Throws in a birdie two at the 14th. Bryson charging over to the 15th.
Yes, and he kept on charging all the way to tie that match and half a point. And you're starting to see a lot more red on the scoreboard at the Ryder Cup. It was 12-5, a little. There are some Americans who weren't too happy with the rule, and it's been a longstanding rule. It's the third time
with
it's happened.
Injury.
Ludvig, or not Ludvig Åberg, he was the only guy who actually won his match for Team Europe. But Victor Hovland,
yeah,
his neck injury flared up Saturday. They got an MRI and found that his bulge disc injury from June had been re-aggravated. So he couldn't play Sunday, and before the tournament, it's called the envelope rule. That if at any time a member of the other team has to rule themselves out and are unfit to play, each captain puts a name in an envelope that remains sealed on the player they are benching for the singles round. So they have to do this before it all starts.
Yeah.
Which is, if the guy's playing really hot, then you could be like, oh, darn it, picked the wrong guy. It was Harris English who was in that envelope, so he didn't play on Sunday. So it was 12-5 at the start of the day. Europe needed 14 to retain the cup. Of course, 14.5, you officially win. And it got later and later and later into the day. Åberg wins. They're a half point away from retaining the trophy.
What's the rule on the half point for the injury?
It's the match is halved. So pretty much they say Hovland versus Harris English, halved. Each team gets a half point.
Okay.
Instead of, a lot of people are like, should the rule be that if you suffer an injury, you should just have to go forfeit and the other team gets a full point? But this was the third time it's happened. This rule goes way back in the history of the Ryder Cup.
I don't know if I like that.
I kind of understand it because you're playing so much golf over 2 days that if someone can't go, should you have to concede? Or in that, should that would almost, Victor Hovland would be like, I have to play. And he's got a bulged disc in his neck and he's trying to play through that, which could aggravate an injury even more.
Yeah.
This is the gentleman, and we're going to get into the gentlemanly thing of golf, and that's part of it, yeah. Going, if your guy suffers an injury, because there's a lot of Americans just who were saying this was an illegitimate injury, they just made it up so they could get a half a point and move a half point closer, and, oh, we're a half point away from retaining the club. Oh, my elbow flared up. I can't go. Now we got a half point, we win. Like, that's what people are going to when they need to change this rule. I'm not sure if they will. So the day goes on, and it gets, we're down to like the final five, six matches, and they still haven't retained the cup. Shane Lowry is down, going to 18 against Russell Henley, who leaves his putt short, and Lowry has a putt to even the match and retain.
Something sweet about Shane Lowry.
Oh, so his reaction was everything you want in a reaction from, and how much meaning these guys have to play for, in the Americans' case, their country, and for the Europeans playing for Europe.
What a great course, too.
And at Bethpage Black. But there was so much noise going on throughout the week.
No, I didn't. You didn't get a lot of it on camera, right? It was after the fact, and at night they were talking about it quite a bit, right? Like covering, and the guys during the broadcast were mentioning that things were getting out of hand, especially on Saturday, and that police had been involved, and so there wasn't a lot of examples. And then it came out,
they called in the marshals. If you're watching, you saw the marshals, like,
following the team around.
Following Team Europe and their families and everything else. They were kicking people out of Bethpage Black. By the way, this isn't a coincidence. They set a record for alcohol sales during a Ryder Cup in New York. Imagine
that. That's not surprising at all.
So a lot of the noise and what we started to hear was it was directed at their spouses. More than anything, that was really...
That's the stuff that really got under their skin.
The European skin.
Erica's fine. She is a very, very strong woman. She handled everything this week with class and poise and dignity like she always has. And I love her. And we're going to have a good time celebrating tonight.
I actually had no idea that Erica had a beer thrown at her yesterday. So fair play to Erica. She didn't bring that to the team room. We didn't make that a big deal. That's news to me, which is... That says a lot about the strength of Erica and everybody in this team today.
I was out there for 2 days with Erica McIlroy, and the amount of abuse that she received was astonishing. And the way she was out there supporting her husband and supporting her team was unbelievable, and kudos to her for that.
Now, it's been very public that Rory and his wife were going to split up a couple of years ago.
They've had some difficult times, yeah.
They actually announced that they were separating. Now they reconcile. They're back together. Erica on the celebration is sitting right next to Rory while they're singing the song to him and everything else. And she's screaming and she's got a drink in her hand. So they've reconciled. But you can only imagine that being public.
Yeah.
Now knowing what was going on the abuse that was being directed towards her. And the decorum of the U.S. fans has been called to question. You have former players of the Ryder Cup now on social media apologizing, and this is a black eye on the history of this event, that the fans went way over the line because they've experienced it. They've experienced Ryder Cups and even Europe, where even Europe's all over them. But
even this
there's
group,
a line.
They were trying to calm the fans down when Europe was teeing up and
Guys shouting in backswings. Yeah. One of Rory's were shot. A guy was yelled in his backswing, and he double bogeyed the hole and lost. And wouldn't you know, he lost by a hole to Scottie Scheffler.
I'll say this. So I think golfers can be a little pretentious, a little precious. And I'm not condoning what the fans did at Bethpage this weekend. I am not. I mean, they went over the line. There's a discussion about it, and a fair discussion. But I think Rory needs to look in the mirror a little bit, because the way he acted, I don't think he was helping the situation. I think on Sunday you saw a lot less of him, because I think he realized that he was part of the problem on Saturday. And he let it get to him.
How is he part of the problem? I will challenge you that till the end of time. How is he part of the problem when they're screaming at him and shouting in his backswing and some of the stuff that was being directed at some of the people? Like,
I think you know what
they were saying to Rory, and he turned around. Listen, and he said,
"Shut the up." Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. When you
put it within 2 feet, which was hilarious.
Which is what you should do. And that's what I'm saying. I think Rory in particular out of that group handled this poorly in certain situations, and I think he made it worse.
You think he would have handled it better?
No, I'm not saying I would have, but I'm not Rory. I'm not playing golf professionally. I would have been in the audience fighting guys. This is not about me versus him or how to, I'm saying the guys that were quiet went about their business, got less attention than Rory did. Rory brought some of this on himself, and it wasn't right what he had to go through. It wasn't right what the wives had to go through. I'm not condoning it. I'm saying I think he was a part of the mix.
I think he was the direct target. He was targeted by those fans.
Because he's
the world number two.
He'll snap.
And he's the world number two. And then he's the biggest name out there. And
he's a mark. Out of that group.
So?
Take the placement
so
in the world.
So that's okay? It's cool? It's fine?
Listen, if you're in a situation like that, you have to look at what it is that you can do and how you can respond. If things are out of hand and you can't control it, you have to be aware of what it is that you're doing that might be adding to it.
But now that I know what was going on, now that I know that his wife was being targeted, you got to understand Rory's going to snap at some point. Like, 100%, enough's enough, boys.
That's why they went after him.
But you think he went over the line by telling a guy to... No way.
I think
not
so.
A chance. We would have all done the same thing if we knew... If we were in that situation and people were berating our wives and that language was starting to be tossed to you in the middle of your backswing while you're trying to play.
I'm not condoning it.
And Rory was like, that guy right there, get rid of him.
I'm not condoning it.
I'm all for it. Kick him out.
But how he responded, I think he... And you know what? I bet you he had people on the team pulling him aside. Luke, the captain... I'm guessing they had this type of conversation. He was very different on Sunday.
He was also playing with Scotty, too, which I think helped.
That does help, right?
Because
you could tell Scotty was, he was also a little annoyed by what was going on. It was over the top. It was. I'm not saying it wasn't. But I think, you know what? Golf is a little precious in my very humble opinion. I mean, yeah, whatever. Put on a collared shirt. I get it. I understand it. And it's a tradition. But at the same time, it's like...
Shouldn't they cool it, though? Like, isn't there an etiquette?
It's the Ryder Cup.
So you're saying all rules should be off when it comes to the etiquette of not shouting and yelling and backswings and all that stuff.
For this event, take the abuse of the family members out of it, which is hard to separate. But take that out of it. Yes.
So in
let
Ireland,
them go.
So in Ireland, when Bryson DeChambeau is in the middle of his backswing and he's almost down, and someone yells "Baba Booey," you're okay with that? Bryson might throw hands if someone did that to him.
But who are they going to go after in Ireland?
Bryson.
Thank you. He will have a target on his back, and he should be aware of that. And if he isn't,
and Patrick,
well,
Cantlin,
he's a moron, right?
1-877-332-8255. It is a team event. It is a major sporting event. The Ryder Cup. Should all rules be thrown out on etiquette? Let them shout during the backswings and the rubber duckies, apparently. They're serving a drink with little rubber duckies in it. So people were buying those drinks in heavy consumption, apparently. And during and
they had
Rory,
moonshine in it.
And they were like squeezing the ducks as he was trying to go through his routine, which was getting under the Europeans' skin too, which is on Sunday, I believe they stopped serving put the ducks in the drink on Sunday.
I'm sorry. That's funny. It's funny. It's golf. It's a sport.
But here's my issue with it. I want the best. I want guys throwing darts. And if the fans are impacting that and they're spraying balls right, left, and it starts to impact the quality of the game, I'm out. I'm sorry.
You'll turn that event into
an absolute joke, it pretty well was for the first
after
2 days.
Everything that happened, Jamie, they won. And look what Rory did with Scheffler on Sunday.
That was a decent match.
That was an unbelievable match.
By the way, Rory was asked.
One and two.
Rory was asked about winning on foreign soil.
With all that in mind, everything you go through, how satisfying is it to turn around to someone and say, quote, shut the F up and then stick it to 2 feet?
Very satisfying.
Exactly.
Congratulations.
That's
stiff,
the guy
it
I
wasn't
was.
Stiff,
that's
the put it.
Tommy Fleetwood, I don't know if you caught it because he was his partner after that shot.
It wasn't stiff. It wasn't stiff. I had to putt it.
They didn't give him concede the putt. So Tommy's like, it wasn't stiff. I had to putt that one. But they had a party last night winning at Bethpage Black against the American side. Coming up next, This Day in Sports History on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. On this day in sports history, it's the Sean Alexander game. The Hall of Fame running back had one of his first dominant performances.
Alexander to the goal line. Touchdown. Alexander. Here he goes again. Touchdown, Seahawks. Screen to Alexander.
Oh, the perfect call.
Alexander breaks a tackle off to the races. Needs a block. John Alexander, touchdown. 80 yards.
No tight ends. Alexander trailing strong. There he is. Make it 4 touchdowns for Alexander.
Alexander, touchdown. Holy cow.
Number 5. That's 5 touchdowns, 139 yards rushing, 92 yards receiving in a 48-23 win over Minnesota. Sean Alexander absolutely goes off on this day in 2002. In unrelated news, he and his wife announced that they are expecting their 14th child last week. 14. A lot of scoring on the field and off, apparently, for Sean Alexander.
All right.
You okay, Locker?
I had no part in that.
Time now for the Green Zone 1 Minute Drill, the latest in sports. Doubleheader on Monday Night Football tonight. Hoo-wee, the Dolphins and the Jets.
Yay!
The Bengals and the Broncos also go tonight on Monday Night Football. If you're waiting for baseball, tomorrow, the wild card round. Although, if you're waiting for the Blue Jays, you're waiting until Saturday as they clinched the American League East and the AL number one seed yesterday and will play in the ALDS beginning Saturday. Coming up next here on the Green Zone, well, it was a busy NFL day. We have our top grades and our failing grades next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.